This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, hello and welcome to On The Wire. It's that special week of the year. It's the GGs, Galway and Goodwood, and a return of a crowd to Galway, a scrap for tickets, the hurlers and the footballers out of the championship the weekend before Galway, making everyone in good form for a few points and a few winners and on the wire. And it's with Bar One Racing and John McDonald as ever, and Fran Berry and Brendan Duke, who's resplendent in white and ready to go racing today, Dukey. Good evening, or good afternoon, good morning even.
Good morning to you, Johnny. Morning, lads. Yes, I'm excited. I was on the way down to Dunmore East last weekend, and I came back from racing in Leopardstown, and there was a bit of drunk talk in a garden about maybe going to Galway on Monday. But somehow, in my absence, it's all come together, and we're heading down the road in about an hour.
You were reminded of a victory Fran had for Japanese Connection. And pre-show, Fran, you told us that Pop Rock actually changed your career when winning for Takashi in Galway all those years ago.
Yeah, it had a big bearing on the last, 10, 15 years of my career. Pop Rock, who was second in the Melbourne Cup to Delta Blues in a Japanese 1-2, ended up via Australia, Japan, on the car with Takashi Kodama, and his first ever run was on a Friday night winner's race. That's obviously one of the best betting race of the week. It's also a 5-6 runner race, and he duly won, and it was great atmosphere. He got great reception. That Friday night crowd is always fantastic, but it led to me getting an offer of a job in Japan through winning on him, and I went there 6-7 winters, and proved a huge thing in my career. And it's amazing, just one race, picking up a riding a horse, that the difference it can make to your long-term prospects.
In the overall scheme of things, how difficult is Galway as a track to ride relative to other tracks that you've ridden in globally?
It's unique. It's unique, but it's like a lot of the Irish country tracks. Tramore's unique, Clonmel's unique, Ballinrobe. You know, you don't get tracks like that anywhere else in the world, really. You know, England, they have a few quirky ones, Beverly and that, but it's a test of everything. You know, you need a horse that can be balanced. You got to travel. They need to be adaptable, and you need patience as a rider. You know, the easiest thing in the world in Galway to do is go too soon, and if you do that, you'll pay a price up that hill. It's well worth a walk. Anyone that ever gets to go there should have a walk around it. It's totally unique, and I just used to, like, when I was riding for Tony Martin, when I had 7 or 12 or 14 pounds in hand, it used to make life a lot easier.
Yeah, that definitely makes life easier. Johnny Mac, it's not all about racing in Galway as well. It's about the social aspect. Many people have fallen in love there. Many people have lost money. Many people have lost friends. Many people have had a good time. What are your favourite memories of Galway?
Yeah, it's a super week, Johnny. A lot of people it's the annual pilgrimage for many people. Like they when they book their week of the year, Galway week, they have off. And great memories there. Going back to games, winning the Galway Galway plate, wasn't it? He'd be one of my earliest Galway memories. I've had great weeks there, and it's a super week.
Yeah, and the Grimes Hurdle is actually a key race for a couple of key trial races, maybe for the plate and the hurdle, actually, this year. But let's go to the Naps result from last weekend. And it's not a great sign when the best results here were a couple of non-runners. Dukey, Gulliver's Travels, he didn't travel very well at all. He finished 14th.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't explain this. I mean, he's such a rock-solid horse. I knew there was a chance that he'd find something better handicapped, but I just thought he'd go and put in a shift the way he always does. But the goal let me down, Johnny, and I'm something of a pretty poor run for the last couple of weeks. So hopefully something might change this week.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it. But Fran, you tipped Sir William Bruce in on runner. You were trying to kind of a bit of historic revisionism here. I think you were trying to say you tipped Ger Lyon's horse, which you sort of did, but you said he'd be too short, so you tipped him instead, and he was a non-runner.
Yeah, Beauty Inspire, wasn't there? Won the Group 2 and done extremely well to win that. So that won, but he was short, so he went for Sir William Bruce. That was ahead of declarations. He didn't run. Keep an eye on him wherever he goes, but 11 to 10 Beauty Inspired the night before was all right, I suppose. Yeah,
already. Yeah, but although, again, just to reiterate, it wasn't actually your nap, just on the record there. But Fran has been in brilliant form of late, so he's had two winners and a non-runner from his last three, and goes into Galway on a high. Johnny Mack, measure of magic. This was a disappointing performance in seven. That 9-4, just one of those days.
Yeah. Himself and the other fan got racing, I think, a bit too early. They took on the far side and they kind of stole and those positioned towards the stand side kind of came home better. Jack Davison's Billy won it at the Saturday 6.
Indeed, Munista. And my nap was Zafanian, who's a non-runner, probably with a view to going to Galway for the Galway Hurdle. But let's get straight to it. The Monday card of Galway is without doubt one of my favourite of the year, from the two-year-old maiden to the amateur riders handicap that Patrick Mullins is trying to win for the first time. And last year, his father's recent stranglehold in the race was broken by his uncle, Tony Mullins.
Round the final turn, a furlong and a half to go, and Zenon picks it up and scoots a few lengths clear on straightening up for Richie Deegan. A wave of the sea, Grandmaster Flash, Takarengo, Mr. Blue Sky, the name escapes me, Golden Spear, Princess Zoe, Run for Mary is appearing late as they run up towards the finish in a trailer. Princess Zoe has got up under Finny McGuire from Run for Mary, Golden Spear, Grandmaster Flash, Zenon, Galileo, and Great White Shark. Princess Zoe for Tony Mullins
and the colours of Petty Kill. Yeah, Fran, just talking to Patrick Mullins about this race and the fact that he hasn't won it. Now, sometimes it's down to the fact that he can't do the weight, and Willie's had horses in it that have won from a lower weight. But he also pointed out that Jamie Codd hasn't actually won the race, and Jamie has a ride for Willie Mullins in the race this year. I don't think Nina Carberry or Katie Walsh ever won this race either. So it's kind of been nicely spread among various other riders, maybe that don't hog the limelight as much. And I guess it is like the big amateur race of the year, pretty much.
It's big time it is, and it's launched a few careers along the way. You know, young riders coming through, claim £5 or £7, get up and win there and on to go to the next big thing. A bit like Paul Townend in winning the Galway Hurdle for John Kiley as a young rider, set him on his way to what he is today. Cracking race. It's rough. This draw is a huge thing over 2 miles. I think single figure draws, even at that trip, are a big plus. Princess Zoe, a future Group 1 winner, winning it last year. Run for Mary, back in second. That's what I'm looking at today, Johnny.
Yeah, what do you like in the race, Juki? It's a race in which, even though it's 2 miles, a bit like the Chester Cup, if you're drawn high, you can kind of, even over this trip, you can nearly go home. But as well as that, if you're drawn anywhere else, you can just find trouble in running.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do take your point about the two horses I was interested in were Run for Mary and Zafanian. And I think they're 18 and 20. So they haven't had the luck of the draw, I'll grant you that. But with that draw aside, this Run for Mary is so hard to get away from. Second to a subsequent Group 1 winner in the race last year, as we saw in the video there, off the same market this year's renewal. It comes here off the back of, she only won a neck in Limerick, but I thought she won pretty snug that day. And she's around 6 or 7 to 1. I thought that was a very fair price.
What do you make a hook up, Juki?
I mean, she has an engine, but she's inclined to run a bit keen. And maybe I fell for her a couple of times over hurdles. I backed her in Cheltenham, and maybe I'm just sick of her at this stage. You might be a more objective witness. Do you like her?
Well, just in fairness to Patrick, was saying that she doesn't really jump well enough to justify maybe her kind of hurling ability. But I found the race tough. We mentioned Zafanian and Johnny Mack, of course. Zafanian stepping up to 2 miles here, which I'm far from sure will suit, but an interesting runner nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, he was favoured for the ladies' derby, but they took him out last weekend. Yeah, he's a horse who had been kind of catching the eye in the build-up to the Fred Winter, narrowly went close to winning Cork over Easter, but you just feel there's a big pot in him, Johnny, and he's in the Galway on Thursday.
What do you like, Johnny Mack?
I thought Fox was an obvious one. The McMahons won the race with Whiskey Sour and Eurodance. He was a good winner the last day, and you can imagine he's been primed for this race. I thought Favaros was an obvious one.
Yeah, I've no real view on the race. I don't think I'll have a vet in it. I think it's a little bit difficult. And I just think so much luck and running, Fran. You've obviously ridden this track before. And Patrick Mullins was also pointing out it's not necessarily a bonus to be drawn one or two, because you can end up behind a wall of horses the whole way around.
Well, you got to make use of an inside draw. If you get don't jump quick out of gates and you get back in the wash mid-division backwards, you got a wall of horses around you. It's been a race where it hasn't been strongly run in recent years. You tend to go quick for a furlong, and you can see how tightly to get Boneshop looking running. Just a couple I would give a mention. If Hookup is in the betting quite short, a way to see trained by Joe Murphy definitely merits a mention. It was a bit keen. So that's proved it gets 2 miles, but it's 33-1 in relation to Hookup, who a way to see was ahead of at Killarney when Chiricahua won. That definitely merits a mention down the bottom of the way. It just gets in and it's drawn installed 7. And Shoshone Warrior will go forward and get on the pace. For all that, he might be handicapped to the hilt in some respects. But Johnny, it's a wide open race. William Mullins, 5 runners. They're mainly hurling form, coming back to the flat based on French form, flat French form. So it'd be interesting to see. My sister Sarah, I'd have concerns about her having tactical speed around the track. She struggled around Listowel, maybe a more galloping track would see her at her best.
And you're heading down today yourself, Fran?
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Saturday. So yeah, it's going to be, hopefully it doesn't rain too much, but it's exciting, yeah.
And I know I've moaned a lot about the fact that they've only let 1,000 in, but just on the bright side, there are 1,000 people as well as race go, as well as owners, as well as kind of people who are at the races working, we'll say jockeys and trainers and various other personnel. And I think people might be surprised at how good the atmosphere is, because I think the people there will be just delighted to be there. And they'll be especially delighted, Fran, if they can back Anchorage or whatever wins the first maiden. I love this race because obviously Dermot Weld used to farm it, but I think a bit like the Kilkenny Hurlers, maybe brought the standard up for everyone else trying to beat him. And now Aidan, you know, frequently runs very good horses in the race. And Anchorage out of it, I don't think the dam ran, but and I think this is her first fall, but this was a typically nice run for some out behind I Am Magic and Ace.
Yeah, lots to like about that run. He's by Galileo. He finished off really, really well. Despite running green initially at the top of the straight, he hung in behind the horse. He finished off good. You'd imagine with that experience and given his breeding, he should take a big step forward with that run. I Am Magic has the experience and has a decent draw installed too. And of course, Dermot Wells' horse being well back. Duke DeSaza, the dam of that, which John sent me on the other day, just to remind me, was Dark Crusader. I won twice in our Galway. She's very good mare. She won the Melrose at York after winning at Galway. And she's interesting for all that experience could count for a lot around there. It's one thing about Galway too. You can see good horses winning and getting beat here in the maidens because it's a learning curve for them. But Legatissimo has won there, Grey Swallow won there, and they're always maidens worth watching to see if there's an eye catcher behind as well as the winners.
Isn't it lovely, Juki, that Fran spoke about DK's horse in a race like this and then brought up that he had actually ridden the dam twice to victory. Retrospective, you know, self-praise, I suppose, from the Berryman.
Ah, well, it's nice to have good memories. I mean, we're full of hope at the start of the week, Johnny. It's at the end of the week that the fear kicks in. But we should be hopeful at the start of the week, right? Remembering the good times. Yeah.
And you are going racing, so will you be punting on the track, you know, in a nod to tradition in this race?
I'd probably leave it alone because I like Anchorage, but even money is too short for me. But it's probably a probably fair price because the Weld horse on Dow, I mean, experience counts at every track, but I think particularly on these tracks, it's so hard for a newcomer to give away the experience edge. So I thought Anchorage would win, but I'll just watch him win, John.
Yeah, that's fine. And before we wrap up with day one, I put up two on the website. Sir Cedric, who ran a really nice race at Dundalk last time, he lacked tactical speed a bit, but he was badly shuffled back, stayed on well. He's never run a bad race, and which might suggest he doesn't have an awful lot in hand, but I think he'll run very well in the 440. Good draw, good rider. High altitude's a fascinating run in the 515. John Murphy's had, his horse have been in very good form, and he hasn't won around Galway this horse, but he's actually run very well there, and I think he's eye-catching off the weight. Before we wrap up, Fran, what else do you like on day one?
There's a standout 440 if lack of handicap experience doesn't beat her mother country. That's a William McCreary's runner, a good draw, beat I See You Baby in Nace, and I See You Baby won at the Curragh in Maiden Company. She followed up with a mandatory penalty at Leopardstown during the week. A rating of 80 for Mother Country is very exploitable over the 7 furlong trip. She's got plenty of pace. The extra furlong drop down and trip, I don't think it'll harm her, but it's just, is she conditioned enough for the rough and tumble of a 1500 Galway handicap, but she's probably could have 10 pounds well in her rivals if lack of experience doesn't catch her out.
Yeah, taking me on there. Juki, anything else day one?
I thought it was a very difficult card, as does everyone else. But the 6.45, I was a little bit surprised at how big a price this Citroen ad was at 7-1. I thought she looked fairly treated on handicap. Bow lost a race in the stewards' room on penultimate start in the Curra. Wild Dollar got it in end. I thought he ran very well at the Curra the weekend. Was a little bit unlucky in the run to finish the close third. She made no mistake when bolting up in Killarney the next time. Prominent run style, usually an asset around here, and I thought she was very fair each way price at 7-1.
That race is intriguing as well because obviously National Ballet winning last time and has gone up from 74 to 86, but a colt by Deep Impact. Ever a Dream is a filly by Australia running in the Coolmore colours for John Murta. And I remember talking to Dermot Weld about Harzan's prospects as a stallion last year. This was, I can't remember when, but sometime last year. And he was talking about Harzan is going to be really good at stud, and I have this really good horse, Port Sunlight, who's going to be such and such next year. He wasn't predicting that she'd be running a handicap at Galway off 90, but if his regard for her were justified then, she's probably very well handicapped. So it's a fascinating card. Johnny Mac, any offers on the day? A lot of these frustrating 15-runner handicaps, which kind of wreck my head.
Yeah, those comfortable places offer there. The company will be enhancing the all favourites across the week, across all channels, Galway and Goodwood.
Beautiful. And of course, we can't forget Goodwood as well, with Jim Bulger trying to win another Group 1 with Poetic Flair in the big race on the Wednesday. Fascinating time ahead at Goodwood. Let's get to the Tuesday of Galway. And the winner of the big race last year is one of a scatter of horses representing Aidan McGuinness in the 2021 renewal. But here is the 2020 renewal, Salt and Stall.
The climb inside the final two furlongs. Big Baby Bull and Njord coming there on the outside. These two off the bend, just over a length in front of Magnetic North. Then comes Nebo, who's lost the lead. Staying on well is Salt and Stall in the white cap. Then Only Human on the outside is on a session, but it's Njord gone for home from Salt and Stall. And then Big Baby Bull and Only Human running up towards the finish. Njord from Salt and Stall coming like an express train. It's got to the judge that Only Human, Tara and Shaman from a good bit back, involved for the placings ahead of Magnetic North.
Fran, there was a nice piece with Aidan McGuinness, Fran, in the Sunday Independent yesterday. It was refreshing to see something positive in the Sunday Independent, because Paul Kimmage has been doing a lot of very investigative work, obviously, recently in terms of racing. But piece with Aidan McGuinness, and he was just talking about, I think they bought four horses at the sales there last week, and they're buying horses now with a view to winning races like this, which they did last year at Salt and Stall. And he reopposes with Njord, which is going to be a fascinating clash. Njord now raised 110.
Yeah, and Njord came from wide draw last year to get up and win. Salt and Stall came from stall 12, I think. Njord was stall 18. It was second to Order of Australia in a Group 3 on his most recent start, won the Balmoral Handicap at Ascot last year. That's what you need at Galway to overcome a wide draw. You need a horse that has gone up 12 or 14 pounds in the meantime since then. And I think Scott McCullough's massive value for the £5 claim on Njord, course form, and a good draw on stall 4 after that run behind Order of Australia, he does make a lot of appeal. It's am I right in saying, or Duke will tell you this, to me, it's a very much an exposed bunch of horses in it that we kind of know what they are. It's just whose turn is it today. Masala, I was liking, has a wide draw, and Soaring Monarch, I was very, very keen on prior to the draw, drawn in 21. And I suppose the unknown quantity is number 10, Mazagran.
Well, surely Juki's going to tip this. I mean, it has all the profile for a Juki tip here, being by the Great Warfront.
Well, and I'm sure he was looking at Abu Dhabi on the 4th of April when it finished 10th, beating 15 lengths, and he said he'll win the Galway Mile.
Yeah.
Will he, Juki?
I don't know. I suppose the reason why you get generally exposed horses into this race is the top weight 110. I mean, it's hard to get a horse who's well handicapped in, particularly the 3-year-olds, of course, because you have to knock off another £8. So it tend to feature these usual sus rerun of last year. I'm kind of hoping it will be a rerun of last year, because believe it or not, well, actually, this isn't that unbelievable, because if I'm not tipping war fronts, I'm tipping class angles, so predictable. But I actually like this Njord off 110. I mean, he was unlucky last year. He was messed around in the runs. Still made a massive move to look to put the races to bed. I mean, the people who punted him into 7-4, yeah, this is head in the hand stuff, because I thought it was a crazy move at the time, but they were spot on. As Fran says, has since won off 102 in an Ascot handicap, no less. Run well behind two really good sorts on his last couple of runs. We know he handles the track. Now, it's a huge ask for the boy McCullough, because he's going to have to ride him for a bit of luck from it, but there's loads of pace. The horse is a strong traveller. If he can pick the gaps and he just gets a bit of luck, I like taking the £5 off, because it is a welter burden he has. I'm not saying McCullough is as good a jockey as Shane Foley. He's obviously not, but Fran reckons he's good value. And if that's the case, I think he can make the difference here.
It's just like, this is such a good advertisement for these hot handicaps, because there are 18 runners, so your bookmaker is going to give you a chance at 4 or 5 places. But it's so reliant on luck and running, so reliant on the draw, but essentially everything has some sort of chance. You look like Horoscope's a 3-year-old in the race. The top weight Njord obviously won the, you know, nearly won the race last year. Down at the bottom, Star Harbor, stablemate of the winner of the race last year. See the Stars horse, who's only a 3-year-old, who's coming into the race nicely. Progressive Charterhouse, a horse with a bit of back class, free solo horse who probably benefit from a strong pace. Torn Shaman, stablemate, definitely has a chance. Well, Bowerman, who probably has been aimed for goal, it mightn't get his ground. Joey Turden taking the 5 off, he's going to be about 50-1. Johnny Mack, so many angles into it.
Yeah, there is. I actually looked at a rerun of last year yesterday. I couldn't believe the dog got. He was last in. He got a dream run up the inside. Touch Torrey last year. Fanned out coming into the straight, and Shane Foley kind of got caught in the backwash there. But he came home well. His reform is okay. I thought he could go well tomorrow. That's Torrin Shaman.
What else do you like on day 2, Johnny Mack?
Walking on Glass, I thought was an obvious one. Roaches, recent Kilbegger, won the race last year. It's up a 5-higher mark. I thought that might take a bit of beating in the 2-mile handicap.
Yeah, we might as well go to you on that, Fran. I think we both actually backed this horse the last day when it won very nicely after running a little bit lazily at Kilbegan. And this is a horse that just basically is well made for the hill here.
He is a tendency to hang right under pressure, hence why Kilbegan, Galway, Punchestown suits him very well. Bit better race, I think, this year than last year, but he comes here in really good form. Lee Roach knows him well. There's one horse here, it could be a total blot. He's drawn in stall 22, but Crown's Major, Trent Emmett, Mullen, should I say, well-backed on debut, winning at Punchestown at the festival in a bumper. 3 flat runs since, and I thought he was a major eye-catcher at Bellystown on his last start when he came home too well from way out of his ground in a race where the winner made all and went steady. Opening mark at 76, Sam Ewing booked to ride. He could be one now that the bookies will be running scared of tomorrow. I think he's one, but drawn and stall 22 is no easy task, but could be a blot.
Juki.
Well, my nap runs on the Tuesday, so I'll save that for later. This Rodica should be winning the Filly's Maiden at 5:10. I mean, she won't be a huge prize, but a really taking effort in Leopardstown. Showed bright gate speed and strong, and she travelled well through the race. Should be able to take advantage of a low draw, and that Leopardstown Maiden could hardly be working out better. And in the last, I mean, walking on glass, I'm kind of going, I'm hoping for deja vu all over again, that this will turn into Galway 20. But walking on glass won this Latin Quarter handicap, the staying handicap that closes the card on Tuesday last year. He's £5 higher here, but clearly looks a better horse based on his last two wins over hurdles. Ultimately, he was disqualified on penultimate start in Punchestown, but travelled with probably the best horse in that race. Little unlucky to lose the race. Bolted up next time in Kilbegan. We know he likes the track. I definitely think he's well handicapped, and he should be getting the lads out on Tuesday.
And of course, Fran talking about hanging pressure. Have you ever hung right under pressure in Galway yourself, Juki, in one of the taverns later on in the night?
I'm almost certain that I have, but I've such a terrible memory. I mean, I can't even remember when I'm sober. So I need that, but I always seem to make it home safely. They're very understanding of people with frailties and their weaknesses down there. So the taxi drivers always get me home.
That's just lovely. Yeah, we're all about frailties and weaknesses and On the Wire. And speaking of early doors, we've obviously been in Galway early doors. He was the winner of the Day 3 feature in 2020.
On the level for the home turn, and the West Awake and Philippine Wright have come up to lead. From Cabaret Queen, Live, Love, Laugh, staying on his early doors, then Royal Rendezvous, Robin de Foray, and Snugsborough Benny racing into the closing stages. And it's the West Awake early doors is coming in the centre. Snugsborough Benny on the far side with Cabaret Queen, Royal Rendezvous, and Live, Love, Laugh. Early doors and Mark Walsh have come to lead in the dying stages of the Tote Galway Plate. Early doors has lifted it from Royal Rendezvous, Cabaret Queen, the West Awake, Snugsborough Benny, well clear of Live, Love, Laugh, and after them was Blazer.
Yeah, we're talking about hanging right. This horse, Fran, early doors, he had a tendency to jump badly left in his maiden chases, and as such, I couldn't really see him winning the Galway Plate. But as Dukey famously said, many's the time he responded well to cash.
I'm duly obliged, Johnny. Yeah, that's what you need, is a horse in all them big handicap chases. Now it seems to be that you need a horse coming out of the novices into the handicaps, relatively unexposed, and you know, that type of horse. And there's a horse for me in it that fits the bill with a similar profile. But will he get in? He's number 38 at the minute to get in. Walkaway, trained by Henry de Bromhead. He ran a superb race behind a steering flange at the Punchestown. He was some decent bits of form through the winter months. And he gets in. If he gets in, he's got 10 stone, 2 pounds.
Surely he hasn't the hope of getting in, has he?
Going to struggle, isn't he? Going to struggle. 16.
I think with these races now, yeah. And I think that, like, basically, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket, you go to the match, like.
Exactly. And look, it's Galway. It's only limited 20. You might get more than Paddy Power. Off you go. There's a good one him somewhere. I know he won at Leopardstown in that Dublin Racing Festival race, but he could be interesting if he takes part. And Henry de Bromhead, Solid Runner, Sumpitu, it could be interesting.
Yeah, Dukey, I've had my my mind on the winner of this being Durasso since he won his penultimate start at Listowel when he was kind of weak in the betting that day, which I was a bit surprised at because he'd won so well at Killarney. And on the day, Sam Crow was one of the horses to disappoint, but he jumped very well. And then at Tipperary the last day, for all that I thought basically nearly the whole way, because the way Soul Potential had gone off so hard, that was an interesting day where essentially the boys who probably shared the car together from the Mullins yard, the Mullins lads and Paul Townend, they all went very wide, including Soul Pretender, possibly for better ground. Durasso didn't do that, but I thought he still ran a blinder. Now, we are recording this at 9:30 on Monday morning, so I'm still not 100% sure if he's going the hurdle or the plate, but I love his profile because I think he'll be ridden handy. He's jumping well. He's unexposed over fences. What's not to like?
Yeah, well, I think the horse is a complete thief, to be honest with you. Right. But then he won two races in a row, so I might be talking through my hat. So don't let me put you off.
What are you liking it?
Well, I mean, I'm actually encouraged by the Great Minds Think Alike, because Fran like Run for Mary and Yard. I like Run for Mary and Yard as well, and he also likes this Walkaway. Now, I understand what you're saying. This needs 16 to come out, but 136 has got you into the race the last couple of years. You don't think he's any chance, Johnny? No.
Well, are 16 horses going to come out of this?
I don't know. All I ever do is just look at what rating got in the previous couple of years and go off. But now, in fairness, 136 was the bottom mark the last 2 years, so you might be spot on. Again, Fran basically went through it. He's unexposed, well back for the Munster National, took a bad fall. He was off until the Punchestown Festival when you couldn't give him away the betting. Might have needed the run. No shame in beating 14 lengths by Asterion for launch. If he gets in, we'll know in about an hour. If he gets in, I'll have a few quid in him.
And of course, Johnny Mac, if you backed Shunter in a maiden hurdle on his debut for Emmett Mullins last year, if you backed him each way at Tipperary when he couldn't manage to finish placed, since which time his form is 1-1-4-1-3-1-1-2-3-3 in a 100 grand handicap last time in Punchestown. He's now in the colours of JP McManus. And the Shunter story just, well, it would be fitting really if he were to win the Galway Plate. How does he bet?
He's 7-1 at the moment, Johnny Shunter. He's our favourite. Kishara 10-1, Rendezvous 10s, 11s. Bar. We've 12 McManus horses there, 11 Willie horses. I mean, it's a real puzzle. There's the in 5 place to be enhanced. I thought Sumchi might have a chance. Henry de Bromwich's horse, he and Topmoon are tied together on Wexford form. That might be a decent form. The assumption is quite light. He could go well at a price.
Yeah, and I see the Rasta there at 14-1, and a couple of the Bromhead runners getting a little bit of favour across the board, really, there. We're nearly finished, unless you've anything else on the Wednesday, gentlemen.
Just to mention in the Galway play to Dunvegan, who's 26, if he gets in, he could be a bit of value for Pat Fye, Galway man. He was very... eye-catching on the flat last week at Leopardstown. That race, Ever Present, went on to be just beat to Curry. He's rated 100 now. The name is Jocks. He's rated 92. He runs in the big amateur handicap tonight, as does Shoshone Warrior. And if you go back to his run at Punchestown when he was third to Foxy Jackson, that novice handicap chase, and even his entry run, he could be one that just slips under radar. For all that, he is only 16-1 chance.
Tudor City, Fran. I'm just looking at the Galway hurdle here, and we will look back on last year's winner. But Tudor City brings me memories of tipping this horse to a few characters, watching it in a wine bar in Salt Hill, as you gave it one of the best or worst rides ever in Galway to get up by a neck, despite the fact that he had about £40 in hand. And by the time I'd finished the race, basically, I'd finished my glass of wine as well with nerves.
It was always in control, wasn't it? It was only
a mile,
so you know, he needed all the hill to get going and got a clear run. That's the thing about Galway, though. The ground was nearly unraceable on that occasion. You get to the Friday, if you have a bad week of weather, there's not much fresh turf left. You got to go wide, you got to think outside the box, and it gets messy. And his bit of handicap on exposure got him home.
What did Harvey say to you before the race? Any words? You know, what did he say? Just keep it simple, or did he say anything to you?
Make the running,
right? That definitely didn't work out.
Which no Tony Martin horse has ever done.
That was how many years ago was that? Now he's a 9-year-old. So
2015.
In a true egalitarian spirit, I donated all my winnings to the Radisson that night as well. And it seems like my last winner in Galway, but there have been winners in Galway since, including Aramon, who took this race last year.
Tudor City, Shanning and Tiger Tap Tap round the bend for the final flight in the Guinness Galway Hurdle, and Aramon is coming there swinging on the outside of Hunter's Call. Hearts Are Trumps with the big white face joins in. They're followed by Build Me Up Buttercup. Petty Moosh was not out of it, racing inside the final 150 yards, and it's Aramon holding Hearts Are Trumps and Petty Moosh War as they go towards the line. It's an in-house Guinness Galway Hurdle for Patrick and Willie Mullins. And second is Hearts Are Trumps, then Petty Moosh War, Hunter's Call, Build Me Up Buttercup, Mount Leinster, and Tudor City.
Yeah, if ever, Juki, there were an obvious trend, it's back Patrick Mullins on the top weight here, which might well be the case if Saladier runs, and he doesn't seem to be mad confident that this horse has the speed for this anymore, which might be the case. And to be fair, at Ascot the last day when he was very well backed, he ran... You'd be surprised he was only beaten two lengths, put it that way, for much of the race because he didn't travel. But prior to that, he bolted up at Listowel and he looked like he was kind of coming back to something like his juvenile / best grade one form. And he's a fascinating runner if he gets in.
Yes, he absolutely is. As you say, Ascot was a tough watch because he was just never going a yard, and that would be a concern. But he is a good jumper, a hurdle, so maybe that might help his rhythm. But I certainly couldn't dismiss him, put it like that.
I like him and Magic Tricks, who's a brother Tabacadabra, an actual full brother Tabacadabra, and obviously would in theory if he could emulate his brother, although I think a lot of us have failed in terms of emulating our brothers, he'd obviously be well handicapped. But in fairness to the horse as well, he's strong handicap form in that he was second to Hearts or Trumps, which brings ties in with the Galway Hurdle form last year at Fairy House. And he ran a nice race behind a very solid mare in Mona's Melody last time. Dukey, what do you like?
Well, I'm going to give Tudor City a like. I was just a little bit surprised at the 33-1. I mean, he won the race 2 years ago and ran a respectable effort in it last year. Back down to the same as when burgling the prize in 2019. Obviously, he may not be the force of all, but his last couple of efforts on the flat, while you could argue they're below his best on the flat, weren't bad at all. The owner over for the week, the horse proven the rough and tumble of a race like this. And he's 33-1. So you can take a chance.
The strange thing about, you know, the whole Tudor sitting, Fran, and Tony Martin in general, is that Tony Martin's jumps hit rate has literally gone through the floor in recent years. I'm not really sure why that is. He might have a lot of dead wood or whatever, but you know, it would be, I suppose, it'd be going back in time if you were to take a race like this and get a horse prepped for the day. Do you give him much of it alive?
You'd have to match some respect for him going there, but maybe that ship has sailed with him. Maybe he is what he is now. He mightn't be open to a lot more improvement than some of the horses, but he's definitely in the mix. The fact he acts well around the track, he's a definite player and he's trained for the day, Johnny. Winner takes it all. He's a big price as well. Desi McDonough's horse, Hearts or Trumps. Mm. He's a big price at 25-1. If you can excuse the last run, which is first run back after winning a well-deserved big handicap success at Easter. He ran very well in the race the last 2 years, and we know he loves Galway. He's a course and distance winner. Belfast Banter, he's the one that has been a revelation in the spring, hasn't he? You know, he struggled to win. I mean, her last year, he won at Galway in October, and he's done nothing but improve since. Peter Fye, he could have a big week. Peter Fye, Peregrine Run, obviously winning the flat last week. He's Soaring Monarch running tomorrow in the Galway Mile, and Belfast Banter has been laid out for this. It's an interesting one. Talking about the quality of the Galway Hurl, Peter Fye was telling me that when the horse won at County Hurl in Cheltenham, he was going to Aintree to go up 4 or 5 pounds to guarantee a run in the Galway Hurl. Mm-hmm. He'd go to Aintree to run the Grade 1 Hurl to get into the Galway Hurl, like for a County Hurl winner. Worked out on it.
Yeah, I actually tipped Belfast Banter when he won his maiden hurdle in Galway, and it was a real, I was doing the race and post tips that day, and it was a real, I have to tip something in this race, because he'd been so frustrating. People were quite reasonably telling me that he'd never win a race at that stage, and I think some connections were thinking the same, but often horses can fool you. He just probably wanted better ground and maybe a good pace in his races, and now he returns to Galway with his head in his chest. I spoke to Johnny Mack about Tony Martin. Since the start of last year, he's had 116 jumps runners, two winners and 2 seconds in 116 runners. What do you make of the Galway Hurdle and how do they bet?
We take the field, Johnny Belfast and makes it all. Who will land the bar one bogey win this because he won the qualifying race at Ballyston. 10-1, Jazz Away, the Rochestown winner. Milkwood, Neil Mulholland's and 10s. 0-10 in 10. Bigger price than the others. Again, 5 places being paid. I was in Belly, Johnny. Winner takes it all. One absolutely hosed up. He's certainty to get in. He's liable for ballot. And he's going to get in off a smash weight. I think he's going to be a huge player. And a quick Canadian Sunrise as well. He got £12 for that Punchestown win earlier in the last take. He could be a player there, Al, but I thought takes it all the way. He won in Ballyston. He's a horse who could still be miles ahead of the handicapper.
Yeah, the thing for him, I think, as we've established at this stage, he does want nice ground. Galway can be a little bit erratic in terms of ground. They've been watering for the last week or two. Now, there's obviously thunderstorms, I think, forecast in some respects today. I don't think they're going to get massive rain in Galway, but the winner takes it all is obviously just a horse who was well handicapped, bolt up in Ballyston when he was tipped here, and could still be well handicapped. Anything else, lads, on the Thursday before we go to the naps?
No.
Well, that answers that question. Let's start with you on the Naps front. And it is you, Juki, bidding to get over Gulliver. Bidding actually to return to form, Juki. You've fallen off a cliff in recent times.
Yes, I have. And it's interesting you speak about cliffs, because Lemming-like, I'm going to follow this Liberty Star in the 7:45 on Tuesday. Massive eye-catcher for both of us in Roscommon 3 starts ago, Johnny. We loaded into him in Limerick. I don't know what happened in Limerick. He just didn't run his race. But I was in Nace last Thursday. I rocked into the place. The sun was and the smell of barbecue in the air. I had some apple cider. There was a place where you could get your sunscreen. There was free water. And I just felt in a good place. And I thought, I'm going to forgive Liberty Star here. I'm going to take a chance. And how unfortunate was he's just making his run at about the 2 furlong pole. The horse starts doing the hokey cokey in front of him. Young Wirty had to guess which way to go. Unfortunately, he guessed wrong. Wasn't really his fault. Wouldn't blame the young fella. Not saying the horse would definitely have won, but he was only beaten 2 lengths despite suffering further interference after that. Runs off the same mark here. Now, I'd rather Wirty in the plate. They just go with Gary Carroll. I understand why the horse can be a bit slovenly in the early stages of his races. But if Carroll can get him engaged from a low draw over an extra half a furlong in Galway, this horse will be rattling home and will be winning.
That's absolutely fantastic. You gave us a good 2 minutes there of why to back this horse, including the fact that you were in good mood by drinking cider at Nace when you ran during the week. Follow that up, Fran.
What do we start with? Anchorage today, Radicchio tomorrow, if you want to play the odds and the maidens. But I will stick with Crown's Major in the last. And if he's an each way price, we'll go each way, given he's drawn at stall 22. But I can see him being hammered tomorrow, possibly. It's got all the marks of Emmett Mullins' plot. And I hope that the draw doesn't beat him. But I think Marcus 76 for him is very, very exploitable.
The Shunter's trainer, who said in the race and post at the weekend, anyone can get a horse fit, it's about placing them, that's the difference. I think he might have slightly understated the difficulty in getting horses fit, but Emmett has good facilities, and his strike rate is, like, I don't think people talk about this. Look up Emmett Mullins' strike rate with his horses in Ireland and Britain. It's unbelievable. It's literally unbelievable in one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive, well, it is the most competitive jumps environment in the world, which may or may not be relevant. Johnny Mack, who's going to give us his nap now.
Yeah, I'm going to put up Radica, Dermot Wells filly in the maiden on Tuesday night. You know, this year the month of June, Johnny, you're looking at that maidens and you see a well horse catching the eye in a maiden. That's the one for Galway. I think it left us down that one into Manny. You know, re-entered in the filly maiden. All three had good place for him. It's significant, I think, that he's opted to declare this filly, and I think she'll be hard to beat. Although Aidan O'Brien has one in the twinkle, but I'll go
Yeah, of course, how many horses down the year, you watch it run, you say, that's Dermot Wells' horse for Galway. Unfortunately, it's just won a maiden at 8-1 at Leopardstown while it's being tenderly handled. But my nap is going to be Durasso on the Galway place. Obviously, it has to get in. If you don't get in, you get your money back. The obvious question, and we thank you for listening and watching our first Galway preview. We're going to have one later on in the week. Will Fran Berry and Juki be getting together for a pint in Galway today?
I'm available.
Oh, that's great to hear, Fran. I don't take this personally, but I may be driving the lads home. That might be my role. But I may be staying overnight. It's all very much up in the air, so I'm going to get to Galway and reassess. And if possible, it would be my pleasure to have a pint of Cranberry, of course.
Johnny, just on Juki, talk about tonight. He's got a group of lads with him, but he was at the corridor recently, and he was having a stroll around in between races, just see what the whole thing was. And he was on a date.
How did that go, Juki?
Well, it wasn't actually a date, but.
Was it your mother?
She's an ex-girlfriend of mine. But it was a perfectly pleasant day in the place.
Is she going to Galway?
No.
Okay, well that, yeah.
Who can get there?
Well, this is it, yeah. I'm aware of said individual. I think she's been a profoundly good influence in your life and she might return to it in due course.
Yeah, but I've been a profoundly bad influence on her, so she's doing well to stay away, I'd say.
which is a lot like racing and punting really for a lot of us. But on that note, I hope you enjoyed our preview of the first 3 days of Galway. And we shall be back later in the week.
Thank you for tuning in to On The Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review, give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.